Oh, boy.
I call the August 4th meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. Approval of the agenda, Mr. Baker, do you have any changes?
Yes, I do have one suggested change. On the last two items on the agenda for executive session, again, the one item, I don't have anything to report at this time, so.
In other words, we want to eliminate.
Scratch those two items, yes.
We're going to scratch the executive session today.
Right.
Any other changes from council? If not, I'll accept the motion to approve the agenda.
As amended, right?
As amended.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Reading, or excuse me, approval of the minutes in your packets with July 21st minutes. If there are no changes, I'll consider those minutes approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President. We have a letter from CHEER dated August 3rd to Mr. Baker, reference to fiscal year 2010 transportation budget for elderly and disabled transportation. Dear Sussex County Council members, it is our understanding that the annual transportation funding budget from the Delaware Department of Transportation /DART is scheduled for presentation of County Council at its August 4th, 2009 meeting. As you know, Council approved for the distribution of these funds to various service organizations as a condition for disbursement of the funds. The state amount being presented for fiscal year 2010 is the same funding level that has been provided in each of the past 6 years with no increases. While we believe some additional consideration for service providers should have been warranted during the previous 6 years, the current economic climate dictates that this is not the year for such discussions. We also understand that the Council will be considering a recommendation to distribute this year's funds to the same organizations and in the same amounts as was approved in the previous year. We fully support that recommendation and ask for your favorable consideration. In addition, we wish to bring to the Council's attention information we are receiving that DART is planning service changes to its paratransit operation, which would have significant implications for many elderly and disabled paratransit riders in Sussex County. Specifically, we understand that DART is now considering plans to limit its countywide paratransit operation to only service with individuals who would qualify for service under the federally mandated Americans with Disability Guidelines. Such a plan would displace many senior citizens who may not have qualifying disabilities, as well as disabled persons who live or travel outside of the federally defined 3/4 mile corridor surrounding Sussex County three existing bus routes. The implications of such a plan would save the state significant funds by reducing paratransit trips on its own service, which has an average cost exceeding $35 per trip. Service organizations such as CHEER and others in Sussex could expect to experience significant increases in demand as these displaced riders seek alternative transportation, or many of these same individuals may find themselves isolated in their own homes with no means to get to grocery stores, pharmacies, or other community services. While CHEER and other organizations are providing transportation at a small fraction of the state-operated per-trip costs, 6 years without any budget increase leaves little to work with when trying to serve an increased demand. We ask that in reviewing this year's transportation budget, the county convey its concern to DART regarding any planned changes which could default trips and expenses from DART to other operators without providing some additional compensation to these operators. There are service alternatives currently available which could reduce the state cost for many trips, and increased use of these alternatives could save funds, but abandoning customers who rely on DART services should not be an option. Thank you for your time and consideration of this important matter. CHEER remains available to respond to any questions or assist with any solutions to improve services for the fastest growing segment of Sussex County's population. Sincerely, Kenneth S. Bach, Deputy Director. And that's the only correspondence.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Does Council have any correspondence? If not, we'll move on to Mr. Baker.
Okay. Good afternoon. The first item is a proposed agreement with the town of Ellendale, and I'll pass out a copy of that. Mr. Moore has worked on this agreement with Mr. Cates and the mayor.
We have it.
Per the proposed agreement terms, the county would administer the MPHU program for the town of Allendale. The town may adopt as its own the county's MPHU ordinance, and the county staff would administer it for the town. It is anticipated that the town may annex certain parcels to the town that have applied for and been accepted in the county's MPHU program. If this agreement is approved, then the county would continue to administer the program even if the town annexes the property. So I know Mr. Moore has worked on this, and the mayor, I believe, is here. And Bill Cates is also here with Brandy. So I don't know if there are any questions. Or...
Well, this is the first time we've done this mm-hmm. type of thing?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So basically it'll set up a process if we ever have to do it again, I guess, like, right? This
yes.
will be basically mm-hmm. the format we use.
Well, when did they become independent and we no longer service the situation? Like, you know, when you're in Iraq,
continue
and, you know,
to,
you want to...
We are agreeing to continue to monitor and administrate the MPHU program for the town. If the town did not annex the property, you know, that would be part of our responsibility.
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, we'd have had it anyway, right?
Yes.
Right, but if mm-hmm. it is annexed.
If it is annexed, we would continue to, if this agreement was approved,
uh-huh.
then we would continue to administer the program for
how long?
It would go on for years,
forever.
Roughly.
This is how government creates programs.
It's forever. Mm-hmm. They want for us to talk.
But
well, I mean, David, it, I mean, we have a system in place. We have administration to do this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine Town Allendale doesn't have staff to do this.
Right. That is the reason for this agreement, that they're not. They don't have the staff to handle this type of a program.
Sure.
Well, but with the transfer taxes, at some point, they could hire staff and take it on their own.
Yes,
is that
certainly would be their option, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That.
But if they only have one in their town, eventually, you foresee us having a number of these, right?
Yes.
And we will set up some kind of infrastructure to deal with it. And once we set it up, it's there for the duration. So.
Yeah.
Chances are we'll always have some, and I guess the town may only have one, and it doesn't make sense for them to create maybe a whole, you know, get some staff for just that one thing, and I don't know, whatever. So
well,
this
we don't,
is, I guess, part of their tax dollars.
We don't want to lose our inventory because the program is ours. We started it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the first one is on the outside other than a little piece. But we want to make sure, and something that, Mr. Cole, you've always brought up and when we first went in it, that it's not flipped. The next developers say, we don't have to do this because we're in town limits now. We lose our units, but they got expedited review and all that, and the town accepts them. So this also benefits us to protect our affordable units. The town, and Mayor Price, you can come forward if you has just basically willing to go along to make sure that the protection's there, and we all talked about it.
But Bill, this is a voluntary
right.
a relationship that we've developed with the town.
Right.
In the future, some developer in a town may not want to have that relationship.
Exactly.
Right?
So. No. But if it comes into their program and mentions that are ours, then they've got to if they annex in
okay.
after coming in ours.
Okay.
Right, Mayor?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what they want to make sure.
What are you protecting? Protects your what?
Our affordable units. The whole purpose of this chapter is to provide affordable housing units
right.
for the county
right.
residents.
We've done that before in the county.
Well, that's what this program is.
Yeah.
Allendale's just saying they will accept it because the towns don't accept our
program.
I
understand. Mm-hmm.
And by them doing it, we had to make sure that legally everything is
right.
we can go into their town. We do it by resolution with CDBG every year, basically saying the town allows us to go in, do the work, and because so that we're not infringing on the town, and the town doesn't tell us how to do it. So this just binds it better. Is that right, Mr. Moore? I mean,
yes. The town had previously adopted an ordinance whereby they adopted Chapter 72 of the Sussex County Code. And as part of that, it indicated that they would later enter into an agreement with the county. And this is the agreement that they allow the county to come in and administer the program and to make sure that they are following our code section, because in effect, we gave the developer certain benefits by entering into the program. We gave them expedited service. There may have been some additional units that were given to them, densities. So this enables the county to make sure that after the town annexes this, that they will be able to, in effect, make sure that the developer keeps that.
And what we will be looking at is sale prices of the homes, and that's it, right, as far as affordable. Yeah. Once they're sold, I mean, what else do you have to monitor?
No, every year we would check to make sure that the applicant is eligible.
The resales are involved,
and if
too.
It's ever resale, okay. We'll go in a binding document with them. They'll be signing the homeowner.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll do that paperwork on the side. It's just Ellendale's allowing us to do that.
I understand.
Under this agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. LeCates, are there any administrative fees the county will receive as a part of this?
No. I mean, other than the building permits and the normal stuff, but no, it's...
We would still receive, of course, property taxes.
Property
on
tax and all that, and, yes.
And then the building permit fees and building code.
Nothing over and above the ordinary, the usual.
Right, but we don't. If this project was never annexed, we wouldn't receive any additional fees.
There's no loss to us, and there's no gain to us. It's the same thing.
Yeah, the only change would be the realty transfer tax if it was annexed, right?
Yeah, you lost.
But it's part of administration fees I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Does council want to adopt this week or consider an adoption through a vote, or would you like to stew on it a week?
Let's defer it for a week.
Okay.
Mr. President, I believe that Ellendale is looking to do an annexation this evening. And if it does not go through on the annexation this evening, that it gets back to a new advertisement period. And this is the last day that you can do the annexation.
I think we should put it on it. I think we should make the motion and vote on it.
Mr. LeCates, you're comfortable with this?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes,
Baker,
I mean,
you're comfortable with this?
It's something we want to do.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Baker.
I have a motion and a second to approve the moderately priced housing agreement as presented by our housing department. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Go for it, dear Mayor. See if you can get her
good
done.
Good luck.
Keep in touch,
get
Mayor.
Her done, they say. Get
Keep
her done.
Keep in touch.
Annex them. We would like to see them go to your town.
How about those railroad tracks? Can we do something about that?
Get a train on them.
They might get passenger cars down.
Mr. Baker?
The next item is dog control options, and this is a discussion of various options. And we have a number of handouts to review with you. This handout basically goes over the current status and how it works. The service now is provided by the Kent County SPCA, which is contracted with the state of Delaware to provide dog control services throughout the state. The state bills us $600,000 a year, this roughly $600,000 for fiscal 2009, and then roughly $300,000 for fiscal 2010, because they will pass the service along to the counties as of January 1st, 2010. And as you're aware, House Bill 233 was passed on July 1st, which transfers the county administrative to the county administrative powers and duties. As far as options that we have been researching, first is for the county to provide the dog control service in-house. What we did, we've met with representatives from Kent County SPCA and the state Department of Natural Resources that have been involved with dog control to try to get as good an idea as we could on what's involved. What we are estimating that we would need five trained dog control agents with vehicles and some 24-hour service in the summer, not all year. But we would need these people on staff 7 days a week. So it works out to roughly 8.5 employees, eight full-time and one part-time. Roughly 20% of their time is estimated to be spent in court. We would also be responsible for issuing dog licenses, which we'll talk about a little later. And that includes licenses for retail dog outlets and kennel licenses. We would be responsible for, or will be responsible for, inspection of kennels and retail dog facilities to state standards. There are 48 kennels now currently in Sussex County. We would be responsible for enforcing humane handling specifications, which are included in House Bill 233 and various state laws, handling dog complaints. We will be responsible for impounding and housing stray and abandoned dogs. Currently, the Kent County SPCA, when they pick up a dog, they vaccinate the dog for a rabies shot, and if it's a sick dog or injured dog, they provide some veterinary services to the dog. Of course, they handle sick, vicious, and stray dogs. They follow state regulations on housing and disposal of the dogs. They must keep the dogs at minimum of 3 days after they are captured, or if they have a dog license, they must keep them a minimum of 5 days, and then some are sent to other facilities to be adopted, and some are euthanized. The Kent County SPCA currently rents kennel space in Sussex County in Dagsborough for 37 kennel spots, plus they have their own facility in Dover with 143 spots, which they use for dogs throughout the state. And that includes, when they have sick and vicious dogs, they take those dogs right up to Dover because they have their veterinarian located there. They document the dogs and they report. They have different reporting requirements. So that to give you an idea of the work that's involved with dog control and what's involved. The other option for us would be to contract out the dog control services, which is what the state has done historically since, I think, the 70s. The next item is a summary that actually I received from the Kent County SPCA of some of the rules and regulations that they are involved with. And I'll just highlight a couple of items. On the third page, it notes that all dogs, these are basically summary of the state rules. All dogs shall be kept under restraint at all times except as otherwise provided in a couple sections there. No owner shall fail to exercise proper care and control of his or her animal to prevent it from becoming a public nuisance. Every vicious animal or dog shall be confined by the owner within or muzzled or caged. The owner or keeper shall notify an animal control agency within 24 hours if a vicious dog is on the loose. The next page, dogs at large and nuisance animals may be taken by an animal control officer and impounded in a shelter. Any vicious animal, wild animal, or sick or injured animal may be destroyed immediately after being impounded. Any other animal shall be held 3 days, except that dogs carrying a license shall be held 5 days. An animal not reclaimed within 5 days shall become the property animal control agency and shall be placed for adoption in a suitable home or humanely destroyed. The owner reclaiming an impounded animal shall pay a standard maintenance fee as determined by the animal control agency related to the cost of boarding the animal while it was impounded. And the next item I have, a copy of House Bill 233, which actually is the legislation that was approved.
David, before you get to that, on this one thing you just hand out, this is state law?
That is a summary of state law provisions that the Kent County SPCA gave us. They use that to help determine, to keep track of the various regulations.
No, I was just looking down under violations and penalties and fines. It looks like $250 seems to be the starting number. So if somebody is in violation of some of these sections and subsections or whatever, the minimum fine is $250 and will not exceed $500. That's something we can't change. That's something that if we start it, this is state law and we're required to.
I believe those would be minimums, right? I believe.
Under the statute, we're bound by the same penalties for the first 2 years.
All right. It seems a lot.
First 2 years.
First time offense, too, George. $500.
$250.
First time offense.
Well, I see that. Yeah, so I just think in the past we've looked at some of these fines and things and
that's
penalties and
that's about the same penalty being a drunk, isn't it, on the highway.
I've never been. I don't know. You're probably more familiar with those that fines than I am.
I have heard the judges rule that.
You've heard that.
Mr. Baker, could you continue, please?
Yes. Next handout is House Bill 233. Which was approved in June, and as you probably may recall, this has various requirements regarding inspections of facilities, specifications for humane handling, care, and treatment of dogs, indoor housing facilities, how they are to be maintained, ventilation, heating, cooling, temperatures, and so on, primary enclosures, use of tethers, and so on. And also, one of the items at the end of this was an addendum that notes that the license fee shall be limited for a dog license to $10 for a spayed or neutered dog and $15 for an unspayed or unneutered dog, and that shall expire 2 years after the enactment of this bill. So those would be the maximum amounts for 2 years. And then the next item I have is we did county staff did an analysis of what we would estimate the cost of the county to provide this service to in-house, and again these are rough estimates. They're based on information we've received and working with DENREC and Kent County SPCA. As you can see, we are based on Kent County SPCA's experience. It's roughly eight and a half employees are estimated to be required to provide four employees 7 days a week, and then one extra employee for nights in the summer. There are costs for inoculating the dogs when they're picked up. Kent County SPCA automatically provides a rabies shot and some other shots for dogs when they are picked up. There's rent for a kennel included at the current cost that Kent County SPCA noted. And there are also, this includes a one-time expense of five vehicles. So it all adds up to like about $819,000. Including the one-time expense. The next page shows an analysis that Kent County SPCA did separately of roughing out their cost in Sussex County without the cost of purchasing vehicles. So it comes out fairly similar, $705,000.
Do they pay, you suggested $15 an hour, did they, is that what they?
That was from information.
Comparable salaries, they seem to have people up there at $15 an hour?
And on average, yes.
And they run that one, the one in Georgetown, the SPCA in Georgetown?
No, that is Delaware SPCA. That's a separate
state
organization.
Oh, okay.
And years,
Do we have, how many of those do we have?
They had the contract with the state of Delaware for Sussex County, and then it was changed 3 years ago.
So, David, at 800, the first year would cost us about 800, a little over 800,000. And as employees stay with us and they, their salaries increase, et cetera, they would, we would see that just go up, right? At how much of, how much
well,
would this
that,
go up
that
per
part
year?
Would go up, and, but we wouldn't have to replace the cars every year,
right,
of course, or the trucks every
so you think
every
that
year.
Might balance
so
things
be,
out?
Yeah, it would. We estimate around 700,000 without those vehicles. And that there's no provision in there for revenue received from licensing and fines and that sort of thing. So that would be a separate offset to the cost.
So you think somebody's going to bid on this to do this?
Yes.
Are you serious? Okay. You have somebody in mind?
Yes, we
State
well,
already
there
have
are
contract.
County SPCA.
County
yeah.
SPCA
already
is interested,
do it.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So they're interested. All
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bid it out.
Okay, the next, and then we also wanted to talk about dog licensing, which is another aspect of this. And we have a handout with a summary. Again, we have a similar option. Do we, dog licensing can be done in-house or it could be outsourced. Currently, as we talked about, licenses would be limited to $10 a year or $15 a year for 2 years. Rabies vaccinations are required. Paper licenses could be issued online. Our IT department has indicated that we could do this by January. We could set this up as a link on our website. We could take payments by credit card or payment by check, just mailing in a check. And then after the funds are received, then we would mail out a dog tag to go to the, for the dog. The actual paperwork for the license is the license itself. The tag itself all really just identifies the dog. So if the dog's lost, someone could look up the tag and then determine who the owner is.
Well, like boat trailers and things around here, what if they switch the tag to another dog? Is there any way we can track them?
That would be tough, yeah.
Get one license for 3 or 4 dogs. Undocumented.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We could have undocumented dogs in this county.
Could imagine have. That.
We could have.
For a tag.
Taking jobs from Real Sussex County.
Real Sussex County dogs, yeah.
David, you threw a lot at us here today. And my only my suggestion would be for the rest of the council maybe consider two options. One that maybe if you, the staff, would recommend after you've looked at all this stuff, because you're more familiar with than we are because we've just heard it, right? If you would recommend an in-house, what for, a way for us to do it in-house, what would, you know, our considering the cost to administer it and the level of services we provide in enforcement, all of those, put together that option. And the option, the other option would be contract it all out. Get it off our table.
Well, what...
That's one I like.
What we are looking at
considering...
That's what he said.
Okay.
Did you do your homework?
No, I didn't do my homework.
Okay.
It was 819 versus 705.
Well, I didn't know if he was...
819 for us, 705 we contract. Ballpark.
But,
well,
Mike, I thought
possibly
he was saying,
600 even. I'm not sure. 600,000, 700,000.
Yeah.
If we
no, what my understanding
maybe
was
even
there,
lower
there's
if we contract
various
it
options.
Okay.
We do it. These are the options, right? I would say I like the farming it out. But if we should have two choices and we when we vote, we might look at we doing it in house. How you would foresee it being the administrator?
Well, I think the
or should
the
we
dog
do
licensing is more. It would be. Relatively easier for us to at least initially jump into. We would, you know, there is some other facets to it, but if we outsourced it, we've talked with one company that handles that, and they charge $3 to $4 per dog license to handle, just to administer it. Now they have they're proven they do this for a number of cities and counties and whatnot throughout the country, but. There, that would be a substantial additional mm-hmm. cost on the dog license.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that if we dedicate a approximately one position that we currently have to doing this in-house that we could manage it, in January. Our IT department indicated they could set something up online so people could go online, order the licenses, and then we would mail back the license receipt and the dog tag. One of the other things that we talked about was agents, the hardware stores and Walmart and whatnot. Currently in the county, there are 17 that currently handle dog licenses, and they only receive $1 out of at $1 for handling that. And it's a lot of paperwork and money back and forth to the county or to the state. So one of the options is we could just allow businesses to provide the form, and people can mail the form into us. So that's something that we talked a little bit about.
And they'd still get $1?
No.
They would just
give them the
form. Dump a bunch
form.
Of forms? I don't,
okay. Well, we could, you know. That.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they could be available at our county libraries.
Yes.
Yeah, library, something right, like that, as opposed right. to putting it on individual businesses. They don't need another stack of crap right. on their counter.
And then we could also offer them here at the okay. building permit county.
Mm-hmm. We have to. It has to. They have to send in verification of vaccination, don't they?
The state does not require that when no? they order it online. I mean, it is the law that they are to have a rabies vaccination, uh-huh. but they do ask the applicant when the rabies shot was, when they received the rabies shot, and when the expiration of the rabies shot is. So that was a question that we asked them that, you're right.
So we don't have verification. Okay, right. Well, it's not required, is what you're saying. I thought
and
that was the
Murray
fail-safe.
Murray is here from Kent County SPCA, and he is probably the most knowledgeable person about this.
I thought veterinarians would be
the... I don't know if you'd like
to
come up, Murray. There may be some questions that maybe you could... Yeah. We also have Eddie Parker and... Alan Holloway, who have been involved with this. Alan's our chief constable, and Eddie Parker, director of assessments.
You know, there's something to be said for a title of chief constable and dog catcher. Mm. There's something to be said for that.
Is that maybe a pay increase?
Well, possibly, yeah.
You like it?
Mr. Don't Baker. You have to run for dog catcher?
In some counties.
No.
How to run.
Now, Mr. Baker, you would imagine if we did it in-house, it would fall under one of their departments?
That, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Then Eddie would retire.
But what I'm wondering is why we have to have 7 days a week.
Dogs don't take a nap on weekends. They go 7 days a week.
If that dog doesn't take a nap, he'll be there Monday, too, won't he?
What are you talking about?
He's saying, why do we? No, the dog, you go out and people call up and complain about a dog. And then they have to have somebody available to go out. So that's 7 days a week, Sam.
George, if it's an emergency, you know, you don't need seven people for just run for emergency. How many emergencies do people have for a dog?
Tell us about your program in Kent County.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. My name is Murray Goldthwaite. I'm the executive director of Kent County SPCA and Delaware Animal Care and Control. For the past 3 years, we've had the pleasure of serving Sussex County through the state Delaware contract for dog control. Last year, we did over 4,100 complaints for Sussex County, and we retrieved over almost 2,500 animals. A couple of the things that we do, because you know, each of the laws House Bill 233 basically just transferred Title VII and made it Title IX under the county rule rather than state rule, and through that title, we still have responsibilities for the to the animals and also to the communities. It doesn't sound like maybe it's a hard job to put together, but there are a lot of facets in the job. You not every dog is healthy that you pick up. Not every dog is very friendly when you pick them up, and so forth. We are required to hold a dog for 3 days. If it does not have any type of identification, if it has a collar or tag and so forth, we are required to hold it for 5 days and try to locate the owner. Once that happens, or does not happen, we do not relocate the owner, then we assess the animal, decide on if it's adoptable immediately, is there behavioral problems, or does it have to be euthanized? And these are some of the things that when you say dog control or dog catcher animal control, that people don't understand or realize that there's a lot of cost values in here.
I don't want to hear any disparaging remarks about Obama. Thank you.
You have to...
Make him be quiet, please.
you do have to have a medical, some type of medical avenue for that animal. 2 o'clock in the morning, hit by car, with a crowd around you, you don't let it lay there and die, okay? And believe me, it hits the newspapers very fast. Mm-hmm. You have to have some type of medical avenue. Now, either you have a veterinarian on staff, or you're going to have to contract or pay by the hour, and everybody that takes their animals to a veterinarian knows that it's very expensive. So we have our own 24-hour medical staff. Same way with animals that are trapped or injured, or those that are very aggressive. You just can't take them to your local veterinarian to say, can you provide housing to me, or take them to a regular boarding facility and provide housing to me. These animals, you do not know their temperament. You do not know what type of diseases they're carrying or harboring. It takes anywhere from 3 to 10 days for an incubation period of a disease that comes out. Parvo is deadly to puppies. Parvo could be deadly to your own animal. So that's why we inoculate immediately when the animal comes through the door. That's another kind of added additional expense that you do not know, because you do not know how many animals you're going to bring in that year. Because of course, like I said, we did over 4,100 complaints last year. We wrote over 750 citations, and probably spent about 300 of those citations in court. Anybody that has been to traffic court, and that is basically where we start. We start at Justice of the Peace Court, and that is heard. If the defendant doesn't feel that they got the right justice there, they can move it to Court of Common Pleas. It moves from a couple of hours to a couple of days, and the process keeps going on. That removes a person off the street. That removes one of your patrolmen off the street. So, of course, then you have to have a backup of patrolmen, or you don't get your complaints.
Let me ask you a question, because you're just basically describing the program, which is good, but you're willing to, I mean, you had no problem administering dog control in Sussex County in the last couple years? I mean,
no, sir.
You're doing fine.
No, sir.
You're doing fine. We have a good working relationship. You're more incapable of, if we put this out for bid, to bid on this proposal.
I mean, I'm not trying to drum up work, but
that's
we would
okay.
bid on it.
But I'm just saying, you all would be interested and would bid on it.
Most of my officers that patrol Sussex County.
David,
live in Sussex
County. We can't contract directly with them. We have to bid because of the cost. Okay, so we do have to do that. Now, you also kept referencing animals. Now, is it just dogs? Because I get people complaining about cats,
yes,
and they tell me when they call up that you don't do cats. How about horses?
How about skunks?
A rabid raccoon wandering around?
We do have the Board of Health contract, or the Department of Social Services contract for rabies suppression. We have a 5-year contract with them to go out on rabies calls, investigate animal bites, mm-hmm, that are capable of passing rabies and so forth.
Other than dogs.
We do all of those animals, in which we have done many.
Because that would be one of the things, gentlemen, I think, and lady, that we would be hearing from. If we start this in Sussex County, they're going to be calling about the cats and all these other animals, and we want to make sure that we do have the...
And that's part of the contract.
Excuse me, sir.
That's part of the contract.
Well, we make sure it's written. So
that's not part of this contract. We do that. In fact, we took in over 770 cats from Sussex County, and that was by
out of one house, probably.
Are they billed by incident, or are they also incident. On a contract by incident?
Yeah, a lot of these requests are also from other law enforcement agencies, such as the state police and so forth. We have assisted your constables for evictions and so forth. We've also assisted them in just removing abandoned animals that have been tied at houses that have been left vacant. I mean, it's not just sitting out there in a patrol and going around and picking up animals. It's also assisting other agencies throughout the county.
If someone calls you about cats,
yes,
cats, What do you do? These are cats running around the neighborhood that whatever.
We will go out and, since we do rabies control, we will go out and we'll investigate a one time at that residence to see if the animal's actually owned. If they're actually owned, then they require a rabies inoculation.
Okay.
If they're not owned, we'll assist them as we can. We will not remove them unless they are a health hazard. That is the responsibility of that property owner, because cats are considered free spirits or nuisances, depending on which side of the fence you're on.
We're going to require people to license dogs. We're going to take care of dogs. But I'll be honest with you, I hear more people complain about cats than I do dogs. And cats do what they want to do. We have no control over them. We don't do anything with them.
Same way with us as in a sheltering aspect.
I'm asking a question because people ask serious questions about that.
The complaint with cats down near the beach area is when people leave them and they start multiplying in some of these, you know, older areas of town. Milton has a problem. I mean, a lot of the towns have had problems. And so anyway, I think the key would be then when we draw up the bid proposal, that we have included in the bid what we expect, right? And then you would...
That is one suggestion. That is one suggestion I would strongly make, because what has happened with our state contract, it's a very vague contract. Right. It does say it does deal with just dogs only, but our contractual requirement was dusk till dawn, okay, holidays, Saturdays, Sundays as appropriate.
Okay. Well, David,
we had to put together a working contract with that. I mean, so it's, and of course then there's the licensing aspect and also, the housing.
What about the towns? Does this cover the towns as well? Do you cover the towns?
The only town under the state contract was Wilmington, because they had their own dog licensing program. And basically when this all started over 100 years ago that the state used to cover, dog licensing paid for the dog catcher. And it's just constantly expanding because of, you know, humane reasons, humane groups, organizations, and, of course, you know, as we progress.
Well, I know Rehoboth has a big problem with cats. I'm just wondering
there is no place in Sussex that we do not go into.
Oh, okay. So it's not just the county. When they go across county lines.
We go right into downtown Rehoboth pick up the dog and everywhere.
You chase them right across the county into the town.
Yeah, we've chased them across the state.
All right.
Just stay there, please.
Now, if a person was to call you and say, I'm back to cats, George.
You are hung up on that.
Well, I am, because I'm tired of hearing it. But anyway, what they call you and say, we have wild cats.
So what do you got elected on?
What can you do about that? Anything?
How you gonna turn a wildcat thing?
Are we required to do anything about that? No. Do we do that as an SPCA? We feel obligated to. We will help that person as much as possible.
I find it interesting that we don't do anything, and yet we've got state laws that we're going to enforce. And one of them here is about the amount of dog or cat excrement in somebody's yard.
That's an example of the Newcastle County Newcastle County ordinances that they have on, that they have.
Oh, the state law, I'm sorry.
That's what we go. No, the state law is HB 233. Newcastle County ordinance that we use now in Newcastle, because if you look at the fine structure is a lot better, is larger than the regular state structure.
Okay.
And we are really getting a lot of participation, and hopefully now that's starting to drag down, pull down from our complaints for dogs running at large, because nobody wants to pay a $250 fine.
So it's something we could address in our RFP.
Yes.
Okay. You said you had 700, over 700 citations.
750 citations, yes.
Is that Sussex?
Ranging from dogs at large to not being licensed to housing violations and so forth.
Is that just Sussex? Or?
Just Sussex.
Mm. Is that a $250 citation?
No, they range. Each citation or each violation has a different has a different price range.
Now, someone pointed out that what we read was $250 minimum.
That's the Newcastle County ordinance. That's what Newcastle County has on there.
What would the fine level be that we're required operator.
Dog running at large, first time, it's a $50 fine with court costs and so forth. By the time it is all figured out, it's about $98.
$100.
Yeah, basically $100. That just raised.
So if the average was $100 times 750, that's what, $75,000. Where did that money end up last year?
Goes right back into the program. All the monies that are collected through fines and dog licensing goes into the dog control, back into the dog control program into the state.
Okay, so
which
once
they
we,
use to help pay for the contract.
Once we take it over, that money would come to us.
Yes, sir.
Can we set the fines at different levels?
Yes, you can with your ordinance.
Yeah.
The only stipulation in House Bill 233 is
license
you cannot
fees.
Raise your license
right.
fees for 2 years.
Okay.
But there are ways of doing. There's other
right.
ways of
That's
doing that. I went to the National Animal Patrol Association's conference this year, and a couple of the other counties are doing is, yes, they are limited on. They have a cap on their dog license, but they have a just like renewing a license. If you do not renew your license on the date that it's supposed to be, there's a penalty.
So they have penalties.
They double their license fee, which is. Huh. Which is, you know, within the law.
You used the word animal control. Is that an animal that's a nuisance? Is that the animal you take after?
What's that?
An animal that's a nuisance. Is that what you go for?
A nuisance.
If I called you about an animal that's a nuisance, destroying my property.
Yes.
You take care of that?
Is it a dog? If it's a dog, yes.
You said animal control.
If it's livestock and it's not. Your livestock?
No, it's not my livestock.
We will come and remove it. That's under the Department of Agriculture, yes.
Actually, it belongs to the state.
It belongs to the state.
The deer. Actually,
it
cost me about $50,000 here before last.
That's the Department of Natural Resources.
Well,
they own those.
They don't do nothing either, so.
They let you shoot them now, Sam. You can shoot them all day, all year
you,
round.
Do you, I see somewhere here there's a talk about if you have a kennels, it has to be inspected. And
yes.
You do that.
You do all that?
We do those now. That's that law, that portion of the law has not changed. That's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
And who would administer that ultimately, the county or the state still?
If we take it over.
Yeah, the county administers
that.
How that works is we have a list of all the licensed kennels. I mean, everybody licenses their kennel each year.
Yeah.
And we send a form out around in October, the new form. They fill it out, send it back. We send an agent down there to inspect their kennels and make sure they're within the standards, and then their license is issued for that kennel for that year.
I have a legal question. If a dog is loose and it bites somebody and hurts somebody badly, I guess the dog owner would be held responsible for the damages, but would the county be held responsible for not having found the dog, caught the dog? You know what I'm saying? Are we held liable?
Sure. In any type of lawsuit, someone would sue anyone they could.
Right.
Including the owner. But as long as the county had some type of system in place to enforce, then I feel the county would not have liability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But obviously the owner would.
Obviously, if you could find the owner.
If you can find the owner, yes.
Otherwise.
Now, it could be, Everett, if somebody called a service, you know, like the dog control people, whoever they may be, to come and get this dog and they don't show up. For instance, and there's damages done to somebody, they're harmed or something. Would we be liable then because our service that the county supposedly is providing was negligent in coming in a prompt time or something? If they could, you know, I guess it'd be similar in paramedics if somebody called the paramedics and they didn't show up in time. And somebody
you get into certain issues of immunity of the government as well.
Okay.
So you'd have to look at that. Are we immune from?
So it depends on how we write all this stuff, I guess, to make us hold us harmless or whatever.
Okay.
We did estimate $10,000 for insurance.
That's what I was getting at.
Right.
Make sure we include that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like these numbers that we've been presented, the $600,000 or $700,000 is for dog control. You mentioned before the other critters, if you spend time on them, you bill somebody. Once we take this program over, we're the ones you're going to be billing. Is that correct?
It's really not a don't. Your agent is out there on the road. Now, either he's handling a dog complaint or he's handling another animal complaint. All I suggest is that when you do write your contract or your RFP, be specific on what you want them to do.
Okay.
And it's basically, yes, this is all we want you to do. And so when they go to look at the, you know, go to try to, you know, write up their manpower and so forth and everything, that maybe the cost, you know, the cost may drop down. The thing is that you do have that agent out there to assist in other complaints and so forth, and to, you know, basically, you know, we're there to serve the
But there's no other entity out there that would come and grab a rabid cat, raccoon, or would that be the State Department of Natural Resources? Or?
No, the anything to do with rabies that falls under that falls under the Department of Health, which that contract is already written.
But a snake, somebody has a snake.
Snakes, in free roaming.
Free roaming.
Well, they're considered nuisances.
So
they're considered a nuisance.
If there are certain exotic snakes that are brought, Department of Agriculture has a certain permitting process for any of those kind of animals.
Well, I didn't know it was Kent County before I got involved in all this. And I have to say, I've had to call you all before, and you do a good job.
Thank you.
Service was excellent.
Ask your agents to stop giving my phone number out. I'm getting lobbied by a lot of people to retain your services, and it's starting to backfire a little bit. Any other questions?
Nope, I've heard enough. Thank you.
I can't see how we're getting
it.
Where
were they going?
Yeah.
Because
maybe work for
if you call a state policeman, if you had something robbed or something, you don't call the state policeman. I want to rob you for not. I mean, arrest you or have you sued for not being here on time.
Right.
You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same, to me, it's the same
deal. We'll have insurance cover all this stuff.
Yeah, we've got that.
You can't sue them anyway. It's like suing King George. You can't do that.
Are paramedics ever sued?
Yes.
Fire companies get sued. Everybody gets sued.
They don't carry that insurance. Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, this is something that we will have to give more thought to. Thank you, Mr. Baker, for such a thorough report. You can continue. Excuse me.
In terms of a direction for the county, I guess, would the council like to think about this? Or our concern is that no matter what we do, I guess basically there's two parts to this. The licensing, whether we outsource it or go in-house, and then also the dog control services, whether we outsource or, which would require an RFP, or try to do this in-house.
It seems that you're quite confident we can handle the licensing part.
Yes.
And is there any objection to the council to allow staff to move forward?
Is that current staff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's approach it in that direction and see what that looks like, and then we'll start debating that.
And then we will study all this information, and I would suspect that within 3 or 4 weeks we may put it back on the agenda for maybe some recommendations from you with respect to the second part.
Okay.
And we have to
tell you
right
now, I have no interest in the county managing dog control. I have no interest in the county doing that directly.
Who's going to give you a sideline, Joe?
It were. Give me a job. Real job, huh?
Yeah, Mr. Cole?
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
I don't want to pass it.
All right. We'll visit this in a few weeks if there's no objection. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Next item I have pertains to the reimbursable transportation contract. And I have a handout for you on that. Basically, each year the county is asked by the state of Delaware to allocate state funds for reimbursable transportation program. The state of Delaware appropriated the same amount that they have over the last 5 or 6 years for this program, which covers transportation for various senior centers and Easter Seals for seniors and some disabled in the county. And because they are recommending the same amount, we are recommending the same allocation that they have received in previous years. And as you can see on this chart, we have noted, for instance, Cape Henlopen Senior Center requested $43,700 we are recommending $41,600, which is the same amount as fiscal 2009, and it's all, each one's listed on the chart. I did, and as Moore read earlier, we did receive correspondence from Mr. Ken Bach of CHEER, who is here today. And as noted in his letter, CHEER, given the current economic climate, believes that this, they are pleased that they at least receiving the same amount as in previous years. So they support this recommendation at this time. Of course, CHEER is the largest recipient of these funds. And they did bring up another issue regarding, or Mr. Bach did bring up another issue regarding the possibility of change in a separate source of funding, which is completely different from this. I did, after talking with Mr. Bach, I did call the DART and talk to a representative DART, and they told me that basically they are only mapping out the area at this time that is within a three-quarter miles of the three bus routes in Sussex County. And apparently the federal government requires that this a separate grant be spent for transportation within three-quarter of a mile of existing bus routes. Well, of course, we don't have many bus routes in Sussex County, and that would eliminate a lot of service in Sussex County. So they indicated to me that they were not going to be dropping that service, but the only thing that they may consider in the future, and they may not also, is charging an additional fee for users outside that three-quarter mile limit within each bus route. So that was just to give you some information. I know Mr. Bach has suggests that the county council write DART or express concern that this service not be, or funding for that service not be reduced. The main issue here today is is this particular budget on the spreadsheet. And I don't know if you have any questions. Or
there's any questions for Mr. Baker?
Yeah, how does this fit in with the budget that was just approved?
This is years ago, I'm not sure for what reason, but the state legislature requested that the county approve the allocation of this money. So every year, every July and August, we end up trying to allocate this money between the different agencies. None of it is county money. It is all state.
Oh, it's state money?
It's all state money.
Oh. For some reason, we allocate it.
Crazy. Well, maybe because we know better than they do.
Our county.
Yeah, about our county.
Well, now, these numbers came from the state, I assume.
The total number came from the state, and the amounts recommended reflect what has been allocated to each agency in the past. In previous years, we've had discussions about, you know, reallocating this based on number of trips and other options, and we didn't feel, and when our staff looked at it, we felt like these are pretty much base numbers that they've been receiving. And if the state appropriated additional monies in the future, that perhaps we ought to allocate, you know, based on number of trips, the additional amount, like we do with fire companies.
Is there a reason that the requested and recommended, there's such a gap in some and none in other? I mean, why it's not the same? Well, for CHEER, for example, that's a big difference.
You're looking at percentages, you're talking
about. Yeah. I mean, Cape Henlopen, when there's a very small difference.
That's what I couldn't see.
In the river, there's no difference.
We're only talking about 5%.
Well, how do you pick
wheels,
that?
We just sometimes it relates to the service that they provide, and sometimes, I mean, I can't answer each specifically, but sometimes it relates to how the budget request is drafted.
Does each agency make...
We're only talking about 5% on Cape and Open.
Does each agency make their own request? So CHEER may be more aggressive in requesting
20%
more.
You want Mr. Bach to
answer that? He's here. Well, he can only speak for CHEER. I mean, I guess my question is, what's their example? CHEER requested, if I'm reading this, $700,247.
Right.
Somebody said they should get $549,235.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
Dave Baker.
That's what they got last year, Dave said.
They got last year, and that's what they got the last 5 years, actually.
$235.
I mean, my question is, it looks like there's not a...
Prior to that, I'm not sure where it originated.
You know, I mean, before, for example, this year, in our budget process.
Come on, Dan.
A lot of things that we, for grant aid, for example.
Right.
We cut everybody, pretty much everybody the same percentage.
Yes.
Yeah.
But these percentages are all over the board.
That's what I'm saying.
Mr. President, please recognize Mr. You,
mostly we looked at the fiscal 2009 budget and worked from there. So if there was an 8% cut, for instance, we took the 2009 budget and cut it 8%. And
we basically froze the allocation from last year. And they can request $10 million, but we're still going to give them just what they got last year.
Mm-hmm.
And some were more aggressive in their request, and Cape and Lopen, for instance, was not
so
very
aggressive. So 796,862 is what was requested?
No.
I mean, is what you gave them last year.
Right.
Yes, 796,862. Yes. Right.
That's what they got.
That's like looking here at Easter Seal.
So the question, sir, is why do you need $150,000 more than last year?
Okay. The budget that you're looking at and the request that you're looking at, as Mr. Baker said, have been frozen for the past 6 years. So there have not been any increases. If you take a look at the trips, the ridership, the miles, hours, however you want to calculate it in terms of service delivery, those things have been increasing. In CHEER's case, we operate transportation out of 8 separate locations across the county here. The other organizations that you're looking at in that budget are all single site operations also. So there is some expenses associated with that. How those numbers got there originally, because in my past life I actually wrote the state policy and did administer this program on the other side of the table for a number of years. The state used to take a look at those numbers, request input from the agencies, and make recommendations back to the county. The county administrator then would review those recommendations with staff, come up with a position they were comfortable presenting to the council, and that's how the distributions were made. It has been flatlined for a number of years. What we have done each year in our request is we have put in what our true projected cost of providing that service is, so that hopefully at some point in time in better economic climates, we can recognize that this is not a program at the level that's being approved.
So you've historically got a paper trail showing that there has been increases as opposed to showing the same numbers.
Yes.
Flatline.
Yes.
Okay. It makes sense. Okay.
What is your, just take for example, what is your top manager's salary?
Top manager in the transportation?
CHEER. Just operating CHEER.
The executive director of CHEER?
Yes, sir.
I believe that number is just over $100,000.
I heard it was way over $100,000. I was wondering if that's true.
Way over? No.
Well, it's $100,000. You said over.
But it's not way over $100,000.
Well, anyway,
I can't quote you an exact number. It is over $100,000.
Pretty good money.
How were you able to operate last year if your request was lower than, or if your funds were lower than requested? Do you have a reserve that you're pulling out of? Do you services? What do you do?
We do a number of things to try and generate additional income for the program. We do have some client donations that help support the program. Some of our fundraising activities help support the transportation program. We do get some small grants. We've gotten grants from the county council in the past also. So it is supplemented with amounts that are there. And none of this budget here goes to the salary of the executive director or the deputy director.
Do you recall what last year's request was?
Where does they get their salary?
Just a minute, Mr. Wesson. What was your last year's request? Do you recall that amount?
Off the top of my head, sir, I'm sorry, I don't.
About the same 700?
I can get that. It was probably something lesser than this year's request. I mean, it escalates somewhat each year.
Mr. Wilson?
If I can find out for you.
You said that our money doesn't go towards the director's.
Saying this transportation
salary.
Funding does not go towards this.
So where does this money come from that you get their salaries from?
I'm sorry.
Where do you get your money from that pays the salary?
There's different state funding programs and grants and foundations. There's a variety of funding sources, and there may be as much as a dozen or more different sources that contribute to different administrative staff salaries.
Okay. I just wondered how you established the salaries and why, you know, but how come we're not involved in overall budgets, what I was looking at.
This isn't our money, Sam. This is state money. We just have to give the approval to allocate it that way.
Okay.
It's none of our money.
Mr. Vincent,
so their questions about their salaries is a state issue.
I don't know why.
I think we just stay out of it and just we haven't increased anything and move forward with this request.
Mr. Vincent, if I understand correctly, then the number in the recommended column has probably been the same number for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yes.
The request column has probably grown.
Yes, consistently over.
Okay.
Because it's services.
This, Mr. Bach, this CHEER Sussex County Mobility Consortium, we gave $7,500 last year. What was that? Is that connected to this in any way?
The Mobility Consortium is a program that we started 3 years ago to
but
try.
But it's separate from this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a CHEER transportation program. It's not within this. This is just the traditional buses, those senior centers to Walmart, that sort of thing.
Someday we'll have a workshop and let you explain it all to us.
Extra that we gave. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Baker, do you have a motion?
Yes. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorizes the allocation of the Delaware Transit Corporation reimbursable transportation budget for fiscal year 2010 for a total of $796,862 based on the same individual agency amounts as approved for fiscal 2009.
So moved.
State money.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the allocation recommended by our county administrator. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Administrator's report.
Passing out a copy. First item is property tax bills. Annual property tax bills for fiscal 2010 are being mailed this week. These bills totaling $100,558,000 include school capitation and property taxes of $82,498,000, county property taxes and capitation taxes of $13,134,135,000, ditch taxes $427,000, and county sewer and water assessments for $4,453,000. The bills are due by September 30th. A penalty of 1.5% per month is charged after that date. The county portion of the property tax bill ranges from a low of 10.5% in the Milford School District to 13.9% for the Laurel School District. For the first time, bills are not being mailed to property owners who have their property taxes paid via an escrow account through their bank or mortgage company. We are mailing their bills to their bank or mortgage company. This will save approximately $22,000 in mailing costs. And, of course, please contact the Treasury Division if you have any questions at 855-7760.
It's a good idea.
Thank you. The next,
Mr. Baker, is this
yes.
the first time in a while that our property taxes will likely exceed our real estate transfer tax?
Yes.
How about that? Okay, I guess we're not dependent on that anymore, are we?
No. The next is Delaware State Police Report. Attached is a copy of the Delaware State Police Report for June showing 4,029 traffic arrests, 289 felony criminal arrests, and a total of 4,189 complaints handled. The next item is county administration roof repairs. Work has begun on replacing the roof on this building. As noted, portions of the sidewalk around the building may be temporarily closed as a safety precaution on various occasions. This project is expected to be complete in 3 to 4 months. At some point, we may have to make arrangements for the council to park in another spot temporarily. And then last number four, Sussex
George
County.
Couldn't find anybody to rent his place, so he had a contest. Right, George?
County Employee Benefit Committee fundraiser. Ms. Barbara Messick from the Register Wills office, who is here today, was the winner of a one-week stay Mr. George Cole's Bethany Beach apartment. Chances were sold for the Employees Benefit Committee with funds earmarked for the Needy Family Fund and for assistance for sick or needy employees.
Good guy.
We wish to thank Mr. Cole for donating his property for this fundraiser, which will help Sussex County residents. And
how much did they raise, Mr.?
Barbara's here.
We're not sure. Ira, has some of the numbers. I don't know what they raised.
I'm not sure.
But they want a picture. She doesn't realize it.
Come on up,
my
Barbara.
Family stays in that apartment, too, at the same time. It's a little tight. Hey,
congratulations.
Good, thank you. I'm not worried about you.
And when she arrives, we hand her the Electrolux.
No, but Charlie there. You're not bringing Charlie.
No, my brother's
she
not.
She hadn't told you who all she's bringing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, right here, these two.
Susie,
yeah.
Yeah, like
they can come down either time. That's open.
Ethnic Beach.
Yeah. What would happen to a nicer one?
What about the one in Florida?
Where do you want Tara?
You could pick.
Oh, you could pick?
I thought.
So she wants Bethany Beach.
Huh?
She'll have a good time.
I think that's nice.
It is nice. You going to do the same?
Mike stayed in one of our apartments years ago. Tell him, Mike.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. My family did in Rehoboth. In Rehoboth. Back by 1953 or 54.
We've upgraded since then.
Well, it was very nice, George. Good for
it
you.
It was
yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice.
These two are real mad because they didn't buy enough tickets.
We think you pulled our names out.
Yeah.
Yeah. George.
Anything else, Mr. Baker? All right. I believe we have grant requests, Ms. Webb.
Thank you. See you tonight. The first one, Georgetown Millsboro Rotary Club.
I believe that's mine. And
yes.
Did they request $500?
Yes, they did.
Could someone please make that motion?
So moved. $500.
Second.
Motion and second to grant Millsboro Georgetown Rotary $500 from my account, unless somebody else who represents Georgetown wants to help defray that. I guess not.
Mm. Mr. Wilson represent Georgetown?
He does.
What are we talking here?
Georgetown Rotary, and you want to kick in a couple hundred on that one?
No.
Save me? Okay. 300 for Mr. Phillips, 200 for Mr. Wilson. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Laurel Little League?
We decide.
500 each, isn't it?
500 each is the motion. Is there a second?
500 each from the two of us.
Oh, I was going to say. Okay.
Well, they're only requesting five.
At 250 from each of us. Is that all right? Or are you want to?
Boy.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's what you're trying to do.
This is, unless you got two letters. I got a letter from.
They each got a letter.
We each got a letter.
Okay, that I did not know about.
We each got a letter.
Then
it's 500 each.
I just want to make
good try, Susie. Okay. I have a motion and a second to give 500 each from Mr. Vincent and Mr. Phillips. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Town of Blades?
$500 from my account.
Second.
Motion and second. Give $500 from Mr. Vincent's Town of Blade. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
Seashore Striders.
What did they ask for? Did they ask for anything? Or was it?
You could be a $250 name sponsor or a $500 logo sponsor.
We'll do a $250 name sponsor.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and second. Give $250 from Mr. Cole to the Seashore Striders.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for alumni Ed Dean Memorial Scholarship.
Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion
carries. Give Seaford?
$500 from my account.
Now, what night is this, Mike? Is it going to be one night for both of them?
Yeah, Blades has theirs tonight. And Seaford's is next month, I think.
Oh. I thought maybe it all happened.
No.
I have a motion and a second to grant $500 for Mr. Vincent,
second.
Instead of
yep.
Seaford. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Grace and Mercy?
That's a mine.
Where is it?
Sam.
Mr. Wilson. In Greenwood?
Yeah. Actually, it covers the whole county.
Kids.
I think it sounds like a Greenwood operation.
No, that's where it's located. Anybody, kids in the county can go to camp.
Just give it. Give something, Sam. They go clear down Del Mar and everywhere. 500. I'll second that motion, Sam.
I have a motion and a second to give $500 from Mr. Wilson's account to Grace and Mercy Ministries. Ms. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you. Introduction to proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore?
Yes, we have two. The first is change of zone number 1691 on behalf of Linder & Company, Inc. It's an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a GR general residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 34 acres more or less. Okay, the second one is a conditional use number 1849 on behalf of Linder & Company, Inc. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 48.3595 acres more or less.
Ms. Dever introduces it.
And that is all the ordinances.
Thank you. Additional business brought before council from the public. Someone from Rehoboth, is this Mr. Messick?
Messick.
Mr. Messick? Mr. Messick?
Additional business, sir.
Excuse me. Did you sign up to speak?
I signed up, yes.
Very good.
It's your turn.
It's your turn.
My turn.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm here to talk about something that's.
And what is your name again, sir?
Come up next. I've been waiting for you. Zoning.
Could you identify yourself? I really.
Oh, my name is Lawrence Messick.
Lawrence Messick.
I live in Rehoboth Beach.
Thank you, sir. All yours. Okay. 3 minutes.
I'm a World War II D-Day veteran.
Oh, good
Very
for
good.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And while I'm here, I'll do a little politicking, too. You're all concerned. You hear about this health care thing. I was in France 2 years ago. I went over to visit the Utah beach. Where I landed, I got pretty sick over there, and I had the best health care I can imagine. It didn't cost me a nickel. They have socialized medicine. They also have the best educational system, and they have the best transportation system, far superior to ours.
The French, you're saying the French do?
France,
all right.
France. Now, I'm here, I among other things in my life, I also did developing. I did the Woodsman Herring Creek. Any of you familiar with it?
Yes.
Okay. When I developed that, I made one stipulation. I didn't want it to look like a cookie cutter development. I wanted large lots, and I wanted to maintain as much of the natural environment that we could do. And this is what I did. And if you drive through, you'll see a very beautiful development.
Congratulations.
What I'm concerned about is what I see happening in Sussex County now is developments. We see how many houses you can get on one piece of ground. And the question I have to ask here, question, why do you approve such small housing developments? You must have a reason why you do that.
Why we approve small?
Why you approve? Well, I'll give you an example. I live now in West Side Drive in the Country Club. There's a new development going up there called Harmon Bay. It's two houses up there so far. When I first saw them going up, I thought one had to be a garage. So I decided to go in and take a look at it. And first of all, there's no way where to park. There's no garages. There's 10 feet between houses. Now, why would you approve? Why was something a development like that approved? Why did they approve such small units like that?
Anybody want to give him an answer?
I don't think I was on the council when it was approved.
I'll give the response, sir. The response would be that the majority of the county council feels that smaller lots is smart growth and provides for a more open space somewhere else or something. So anyway, the majority of the county council in the past has felt that smaller lots is what they refer to as smart growth and is in our best interest as the way development should proceed. So that is where the county council has been in the past on supporting these land use plans that support smaller lots and more houses.
Well, one of the question I have, I go to Florida, I have a son who lives in Florida, and I go down to Florida a lot now in the winter that I retired. Before a development, when they started development there in Florida, before they sell the first lot, all infrastructure has to be in place. That seems to me like it'd be a pretty good idea.
Sort of about like we're doing, isn't it?
Hmm? No.
No, we don't do that.
No, we don't do it.
We don't put the roads in, the sewer and the stuff into a development?
Yes,
since
we do, but not...
Since when do we quit?
No, we do, Sam, but he said before the first lot is sold. I think we
meet the requirements of that, George.
Let me suggest that we allow Mr. Messick to finish.
We're going to let you finish. Try to keep this to 3 to 5 minutes. Have you anything else?
Okay. No, I've had a hard time listening because my hearing's bad, even with a hearing aid. The other thing that I, one of the things I guess why you may do it, why they may do it, is they figure, well, we're going to get more income. We got more taxes coming in. But what's the ratio between the tax money you get in and what your additional expenses are going to be? Has anybody ever figured that out? Do you have any figures on that?
Well, we're about the only county that seems to have any money these days, so it's something that we're very cognizant of, but one that gets debated every 2 years when we have these county council elections, and I think your timing's pretty good.
Well, it seems to me somebody ought to do some studying on this and find out whether it's feasible or not.
Okay.
Why would you want to waste land?
Why what?
Why waste land for a house that has to have 5 acres or 2 acres? And you spend time cutting grass when you could put all these houses together and leave farmland for something to grow a crop on that can feed you.
I agree with you. I'm opposed to housing. What I'm opposed to is where you take a nice piece of ground like this in Rehoboth there, and you put houses on where you only allow 5 feet. On your restriction lines, right? So you can hear your neighbor in the bedroom if you want to, and things like that. That's what I don't say you have to have on my lot where I am in Rehoboth.
Don't those people know that when they buy that piece of property that they're going to be 10 feet from the neighbor or 5 feet? Isn't that in
you see what's happened in this country with people buying what they buy?
What's happened?
Don't you know?
No. I mean, there's all kinds of answers. What did you answer?
Well, you saw people buying homes they couldn't afford. You saw people buying cars they couldn't afford.
Sure.
So they buy houses they could afford, yes.
What you're saying is buy 5 acres, they can't afford it, but they can buy a half acre and afford it.
I don't think he said buy 5 acres, Sam, I think.
Well,
no, you don't understand.
He just followed Go Morning Screen.
Maybe you misunderstand what I'm saying.
Mr. Messick,
I'm saying you can do a nice development.
You can debate that with Mr. Wilson later off the side. He'll be out. He'll wait. He'll meet you outside. Talk to you for hours.
Have you anything else, Mr. Messick?
No. Mainly, that's the main thing I wanted to say.
I think you made some good points. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate you coming in, Mr. Messick.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Does the council have any other business?
Make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That was fun.